I told you last week we celebrated a little early our freedom and how fitting we're lining up to our freedom in Christ and how it aligns to celebrating the 4th of July. But you know, our freedoms in this country are being threatened. Alana and Jim stayed with us, and they were telling us the state of the church in Canada. It's drying up. It's getting cold and dark and losing life. And we're following suit in the United States. Things are changing. You know, they've sanctioned, same-sex marriage in California. And things are going down the tube morally in this country. And the Bible tells us of in the end times there's going to be an apostasy. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the end times that some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's a prophecy straight from the Holy Spirit. And we're facing that like persuasion. I sense it. I mean, I feel it. You know, to kick back, don't press in. You know, the times we live in are trying to choke our spiritual life out of us. Thus, we have to respond and be strong and stand fast. You know, the Bible tells us that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. God offers more power, more help. When times are tough, in darkness, more light. And, you know, really that's what we're reading about. You know, Francis Schaeffer, like a prophet, man, wrote years ago about the church in the United States that we're not really a church, man. We're not living the life of Jesus Christ like the Bible tells us to. And Romans 8 tells us how to be alive in Christ, how to live with power and passion and life. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in verse 4, the end of verse 4. Well, verse 4, chapter 8. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Lord, again, we turn to you and we thank you, Lord, for the truth that you reveal to us and the truth before us. And Lord, we ask that you would download it in our heart, in our understanding, that we leave here recharged, refreshed, strengthened in you with new vision and vitality, spiritual life that pleases you, Lord. We commit this time to you. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, again, he's talking about the spirit and the flesh and the contrast of the two lives, living according to the spirit, living according to the flesh, but differently than back in chapter 7. Back in chapter 7, he spoke about the life of the flesh, but in a defeated way. you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. It was, we seen him, he was so filled with I and me and myself, and 48 times mentioned over. Kind of like Popeye says, he was filled with meself. And it was too much of meself that brought defeat. So the struggle from the standpoint of the flesh, the inability of the flesh, the being defeated in our human strength. Now there's a difference as he comes into Romans 8, not the inability of the flesh, but the ability of the Holy Spirit within us. So now he's like talking about the struggle from a different vantage point. Now from being freed, he looks at the struggle. You know, it's no longer the flesh and its overwhelming power, you know, being in the flesh, but the flesh in us, in perspective, according to the Spirit. Paul, you know, talks about the life in the flesh, the life, the walk in the Spirit. You know, what about the flesh? You know, Paul in chapter 7 says, you know, he was defeated, and he in that place of struggle, he said, who can deliver me from this body of death? Then he said, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus can free us. Then in chapter 8, he talks about how Jesus freed us. He says, now the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now we stand, all of us, because of Jesus Christ in our faith, from a standpoint of freedom. So we celebrate our freedom. You know, you go through these scriptures sometimes, you know, just like watching the fireworks, man. It's like, oh, wow. Some of the truths, you know, simple truth in Scripture. You know, just like seeing spectacular fireworks. But the flesh in the big picture. The Bible tells us that when we accept Jesus Christ, that we're reclassified. God no longer sees us as in the flesh. But, you know, there's two different parallel truths in the Bible. One is our state, and one is our standing. Our state, you know, we're saved. The Bible tells us, you know, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, the last thing that came out of his mouth is, it's finished. It's accomplished. Teleo, he yelled out in the Greek. Teleo, it is finished. The work on the cross, the work of redemption, the truth of our salvation, fulfilled, completed, done. We're saved. That's our state legally before God. But our standing, that's what God's continuing to talk to us about. The way we live. How he requires us to live. That's what it says in verse 4 here. It says that the law might be fulfilled in us. The requirement of the law. The righteous life is God requiring from us. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Only those who live according to the Spirit, walk according to the Spirit, can possibly fulfill the righteous requirement that God's requiring from us. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, God no longer sees us as in the flesh. There's a contrast. Paul goes over here. There's a difference between, or a progression. You know, the scripture tells us that one time we walked according to the course of this world, it says in Ephesians, according to the prince of the power of the air. We walked in sin, fulfilling the lusts of our flesh and of our mind and the desires of our flesh. We're living in sin, walking according to the flesh, the Bible tells us. But here he's, you know, telling us about living in the freedom of Christ and walking according to the Spirit. The difference of walking, you know, like John, in John 1:1, it says, walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. A new walk, a walk according to the Spirit. Our new nature, our new life, our new state, our new standing. Paul's saying, you know, to walk according to the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit. The contrast. Once you were dead in trespasses and sins. God seen us as dead. He has made alive in Christ, the Bible tells us. Now seeing us, not according to the flesh, in the flesh, but alive in Him, according to the Spirit, our state, by our standing. Paul's talking about those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of their spirit. You know, he says, walk. We have to change our walk. I remember a good friend of mine growing up. You know, we were 15, mid-teens, you know, hung out, best friends. And we used to run everywhere together. We used to jog. And he used to run like a girl. And we'd be running down the beach, you know, in front of all the girls. And here he is running. He's got this, like, swag about him. He ran just like a girl. You know, I didn't struggle with my masculinity. But, you know, people would say things. You know, hey, you guys are always together. Kind of runs like a girl. You know, I never sat him down. I said, you know, Pete, you got to change the way you run. Doesn't look good. But he does. He sits us down. He says, you got to change the way you walk. You know, different people have different walks. But it's important that we walk according to the Spirit. A different walk. According to His way, according to His life. And have the mindset. We're going to look at a few scriptures because it's the same Greek word for mind as it has here in Romans 8. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Look in verse 23. Matthew 16, 23. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. He was rebuking Peter, but more than rebuking him, he was addressing Satan being in Peter. Peter was telling Jesus, you don't have to die. You don't have to go to the cross. And that's Satan's logic, even for us. You don't have to lay down your life. You don't have to deny yourself. But the way Jesus addressed him was, hey, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter, your mind, where your head's at. You know, you're not mindful of the things of God. But we are to be mindful of the things of God. Look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. The mindset of the Christian, remaining humble, dealing with our pride, proudful thoughts. Don't place your mind on high things. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. After all, this is a Bible study. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, look in verse 19. Warning against those that are living for the flesh. In verse 19, whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? Whose glory is their shame? Who set their mind on earthly things? Different mindset. Mind of the flesh, setting their minds on earthly things. Look in Colossians, next chapter, book to the right, verse 2, chapter 3. The proper mindset. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. A new mindset, a new walk, a new life God gives us. But what he's trying to communicate to us is our standing, the way we live. Not our state, we've been saved, but the way we live on a daily basis. You know, some theologians call it, you know, the process of sanctification. It's our life, and we're to live holy. We're to live with Christ. We're to walk with Christ. We're to live with Christ. We're to set our minds on the things of Christ. It's our life, setting our mind. And really, you follow this Greek word, and it's, you know, really is a means, you know, setting your mind, your will, you know, the whole, the bent of your life. Not just thinking and thoughts, but placing your whole life, you know, purpose, thought, direction, pursuit upon Christ. That's what he's asking us to do, to live holy. The result of following the course. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, not to be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, we won't be disappointed if we decide, even today, right now, or for the rest of our life, to live according to the Spirit. We'll reap. But if we live according to the flesh, we'll reap destruction, the Bible tells us. The end of the life according to the flesh is death. And Paul says, if we live according to the Spirit, there's life and peace. Paul tells us in another book that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. If we live according to the Spirit, the direction and pursuit of our life. You know, Paul does touch on the carnal mind. You know, you think about, you know, the Bible, the truth of the Scripture in our life. You know, while we were yet enemies, you know, Christ died for us. He came in us when we asked him to come in at conversion. But he came into a hostile environment that was our heart against him. But he said the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, it says. That means it's not in subjection to Jesus. The carnal mind, or the life of the flesh. Not willingly bowing, submitted to him, the flesh. All in all, it speaks of separation. The life of the flesh, the direction of the flesh, and the end of the flesh, with which leads to death, separation from God. Rebellion, separation from God. And Paul tells us where our freedom comes from. It's the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, we invite Jesus Christ into our life. He comes in. And when he comes in, he changes our life from the inside out. I see through a different set of eyes. I take for granted how far he's brought me. And the truth is, when he came in my life, where I was at, in the darkness, and the gook, and the sin I was in, you know, so undeserving. You know, when I asked him to come in, when he saved me, you know, we'll go there. But upon arrival, we're reclassified. Not any longer. We accept Jesus Christ. He comes into our heart, into our life. He no longer sees us according to the flesh. That's the state. You know, we're reclassified. It says in verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The body is dead, but the Spirit is life. New classification. We see, you know, the Bible tells us that when he comes in, you know, the Holy Spirit into our heart and our life, we're referred to as a temple. It's his dwelling place. Temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. Remember when Jesus went into the temple? He made a, you know, whip of cords. He overturned the tables. He said, you know, you've turned this temple into a den of thieves. And it's my Father's house. It's my dwelling place. In one place he says, it's my house. It's my possession. When he comes in, he cleans house. Lord willing, we work with him as he cleans house. He overturns the table. You ever feel a little flutters in your heart? It's Christ cleaning house. You know, and he desires to clean our heart, that we would live holy according to the Spirit. His life. New mindset. Cleansing of the temple. How can I make him comfortable? Live according to the Spirit. Let's turn back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. First, Second Samuel, First, Second Kings, First, Second Chronicles, Second Chronicles 15. Verse 2. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, speaking to King Asa. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you're with him. His desire for us as we walk according to the Spirit is to live with him, to walk with him, submit to him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." You know, Paul talking about our freedom in Christ, but more than just, you know, because it's our state. He desires that we live holy. That's the bent, that's the intent of Paul as he teaches us about life in Christ. Turn to James chapter 4. Book after Hebrews. Chapter 4, look in verse 8. How to make him comfortable in our heart. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How to live according to the Spirit. Wash, cleanse, purify. I like this because, you know, Paul changes from being in defeat in the flesh. It's not a negative guilt trip that he's teaching us, but a powerful, influential way to change. Notice in verse 9, chapter 8, Romans, he mentions the Spirit of God. In verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." This is past tense. "If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. Past tense, Spirit of God. Look in verse 10. "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Present tense. Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. Look in verse 11. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," future tense, "he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I like thinking about, you know, the assurance that we have. I don't struggle if I'm saved or not. You know, some people say, you know, "Are you saved?" Well, no one knows until we come to the end. But that's what the purpose of the first John is. One of the first purposes is that you may know that you have eternal life. And we, you know, he wants us to know and have assurance. And the Bible tells us that he gives us a down payment or earnest. He gives us his Spirit as a seal, as a deposit until the redemption of the body. You know, he lets us know we're his by giving us his Spirit. But that's in our state and our standing. Paul's teaching us here in the future tense, because of, you know, the one that raised Jesus from the dead will also raise our mortal bodies. He's talking about at the end, when we get our new bodies, when we die, or the rapture comes. That's kind of the assurance that we have, is because of him who lives in us. That's why we have assurance, because we're right with him. We walk with him, and he lives in us. That's what gives us assurance. He dwells in us. Jesus is in my heart. Paul teaches that, you know, it's because of the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the same Spirit. He's a Spirit of holiness, the Bible tells us and calls him. In chapter 1 of Romans, turn back a few chapters, look at verse 4. As Paul was talking about Jesus and who raised him from the dead, in verse 4 it says, "And declared to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." His Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of holiness. You know, it's like Paul saying, walk according to the Spirit to live holy, but the power comes from the Spirit of holiness. We don't have any power. You know, from being freed or victory in chapter 8, it's all about the Holy Spirit. Compared to or contrasted with chapter 7, it's all about me without him. He says, you know, he's called the Spirit of holiness, and by virtue of his dwelling in us, brings purity to our life. How we're to, like it says in verse 4, you know, fulfill the righteous requirement in us is through Him and by Him and only by His presence in us. Purity to our life, holiness to our life, living after or according to or walking after, the Bible tells us, according to, after the Spirit. He brings power to our life. You know, every mention in chapter 8 of the power in our life is in correlation to the Holy Spirit in us. Brings purity, brings power, assurance of one day getting a new body, the resurrection of the body in which He has lived in. One more verse. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16. Use one of them fireworks. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Our purity and power and the righteous requirement, the fulfillment of the righteous requirement in us. Let's stand. Big difference, at the rate of speed we're going through Romans 8 and Job. We did like 6 chapters Sunday versus, you know, 6 verses here. Let's pray. Lord, we look to You and we thank You. We thank You for the truth, Lord, the Spirit of truth. And Lord, we ask that You flood our hearts with Your Spirit, that You would cleanse and wash and make pure and holy Your temple, our heart, our life, our soul, our thoughts, that our mind would be set upon the Spirit, our life, Lord, that we live according to the Spirit, our walk, Lord, that You would change our walk to walk according to the Spirit. Lord, we that You would do what we cannot do, Lord, change us. To live in a way that pleases You, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us according to those who walk according to the Spirit. Lord, we do ask that You have Your way, that You continue to work in us and through us, that You change us, empower us, purify us, cause us to be holy, Lord, in a world that's fastly falling from You. Lord, cause us to step up our walk with You according to the Spirit. Lord, that You more than we get into heaven by the skin of our teeth, but we would walk purposely in You according to the Spirit. Lord, we thank You for Your word and the truth in the Scripture, and we ask that You would plant it in our heart, that we would see through new eyes. And Lord, give us a heart that beats after Yours according to the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.